Thanks, everyone. Bless you. There were some beautiful lines in some of those songs this morning. Just really spoke to me. One was in the first song, or one of the first songs, said, "You've been faithful all my life. All my life, you've been faithful." And I was just, and I've sung that song a lot. I know we do sing it a bit, and it's a beautiful song. But it just really spoke to me. Yes, Lord, you have been faithful. All my life, you've been faithful. And I guess my mind went to this. Probably you can think about days where you might have a challenge, or you might struggle a bit, and you might even say, "Where are you, Lord?" Anyone have any of those days? And but the reality is that He is faithful. All my life He's been faithful. And it's not always that it's going to be easy, but He's always faithful. He's always there. He'll fulfill His promise for us. And it's good to declare that, isn't it? It's not just like positive confession, but it's reality, and it's good to just focus on that and affirm that and declare that, because He is faithful. I was sharing with I don't even know where I was. We were just chatting with someone. Actually, it was out at Hay last month. At the end of the month, I was at Hay, and I just had a word for all the people that were there. And for one of them, I had a word from Psalm, and it just said, "I declare your loving kindness every morning and your faithfulness every evening." And it's not quite like that. I had to find the reference for them afterwards. But I just thought, you know, every day you wake up and you just know this. You know that God is a God of loving kindness. So even before the day begins, you're affirming what God is like, you know. And in some ways, I guess you're readying yourself. If the day goes well, He's a God of loving kindness. If the day goes a bit challenging, well, it's good to have locked in and settled in your heart that He's a God of loving kindness. So however it looks through the day, you're able to see that, you know, God is still there and He's at work, and His intention in His heart is one of loving kindness, because that's His nature and that's what He does. And then at the end of the day, to be able to declare, "Lord, you are faithful." You know, whatever's happened in the day, you are faithful. And so some of those declarations are really important, aren't they? Anyway, great to be together today. Happy New Year to you. I'm not sure how you saw the New Year in. Maybe stayed up till midnight, maybe crashed a bit earlier if you're getting a bit older, like some people in this room, like us. Talking about us, not anyone else. I wasn't looking at anyone else, but anyway, it's great, isn't it? And a new year, it's just really, in some ways, it's just another day, another week or whatever, but it is good to have those checking points in our life, isn't it? That whether it's a birthday or whether it's an anniversary or whatever those days are, in some ways each day is the same, but in another way it's like a checking point, isn't it, for us to just evaluate or to think. I don't know, I'm not a person that gets too intense about it, but it is good to have a look and say, "Lord, what's happening? What's been happening? What needs to change? Whatever happens in our life." Anyway, so I want to share a bit this morning on prayer, because over the last few months our leadership team have been just prayerfully considering 2021. There's a few things that we've just really sensed together, and our leadership team has some involvement and input from Jeff and Trace from Leeton, from Annette and Steve from over at Cooleman, Justin and Mar from Hay. So we kind of work together, and so we've been just talking together a little bit about how we might start the year. And one of the things that we just really felt strongly, even from a few months back, was that to just set a focus on prayer. And we felt, you know, as we prayed that through over a couple of meetings, we felt there was a couple of ways that we would express that together. And there's obviously locally here too, Ash and Mel and Jem and Tone are part of that. Christine also comes and gets involved because of her leadership with the children. I think that sort of covers it, but you know, there's a group of people that we're interested in where God is taking us as a church, and we all contribute to that discussion. And one of the things is prayer. And look, prayer is always important, isn't it? Like, why do you have a focus on prayer when it should be always a focus? Well, I don't know about you, but one of the things that happens is if you're going to stay 100% focused on something forever, it kind of wanes, doesn't it? Like, it's hard to keep an intense focus, even on really good things all the time. Who knows that the balance comes in the pendulum swinging, is that right? Like you kind of see, you swing this way and then you make the adjustments and you move back. It's like driving a car. You don't basically lock the steering wheel in. If you turn the key off and you're going down a hill and it locks the steering, you're in trouble. Who knows that? Because, you know, you need to be able to make the adjustment as you go. And that's what happens in life and in balance, in a balanced life, or even in things that we're passionate about. You know, I think there are times, there are seasons, you know, when you focus. It's always important, but there are times when you focus. And prayer's always been important to us. But, you know, just sense God is stirring within us a focus on prayer. And it's no good him just stirring that in the leaders. It's got to be stirred in the body, hasn't it? And so I just invite you to let your heart be stirred. Maybe it's already happening, because that's often what happens, isn't it? Like if we're open to what God is saying and doing, then we just all sense the same thing. But I would just encourage you, let your heart be open to just see how that might impact you, how that might affect you as you head into 2021 in prayer. There's a few things we want to do to facilitate that. So the first thing that we'd like to do is we'd ask you to join us in a time of prayer and fasting. And so Narendra, Leighton definitely, and Kuhlman and Hay, they're still getting going with their programs and things for the year, but we're going to join together in a time of prayer and fasting. And I just want to say, like with that, I'm not going to preach on fasting today, but to make a few comments just to help us with that. You know, encourage you over this coming week to ask the Lord, how do you want me to fast? I should probably say that we're thinking to start from next Monday, so Monday the 11th, and we thought we'd go through to Australia Day the 26th. So it's kind of about 2 weeks, but we thought, wouldn't it be nice to just finish, we're thinking 2 weeks, and then we thought, wouldn't it be nice to finish on Australia Day, really pray for our nation, and maybe on that Australia Day evening we might just see how it all works out with COVID and everything, but it might be nice just to get together for a barbecue and a bit of a celebration, you know, with the Leighton, Kuhlman and Hay guys or whatever. We'll see how it all works out, but on that Australia Day evening maybe we could celebrate sort of the end of that time of prayer. And it's not like we'll finish praying, but it's like a season of focused prayer and fasting. So next Monday we will start that. What we'd like to do is just invite you and encourage you to be part of that. And that next week, during this week, as we come to the start of it, just be praying, saying, Lord, how do you want me to engage in this? And look, if I can be bold and say, don't just say, oh, well, I don't do that. Please don't, like as I've announced it now, don't just say, oh, well, no, I know there's some few fanatics around here that get into that, but that's not for me. What I'd ask you to do is every one of us take some time through this week and just say, again, you don't have to get too intensive, but say, Lord, how do you want me to engage in this? What do you want me to do? And he might, you know, he might just prompt you to miss a meal a day, you know, maybe over those days, and say, well, at lunchtime I'm not going to have lunch. What I'm going to do is I'm going to devote that time that I might normally have for lunch, and I'm going to just spend some time in prayer and maybe listen to some worship music and, you know, whatever. It's not like you have to pray solid, but just be prayerful. Just take some time to, you know, either worship or just focus on the Lord, you know, in that time. Maybe you will do it the other way around. Just have one meal a day, and the other times, you know, you'll set aside. Maybe you feel for 1 week, you'll go the whole week and just have water and just, you know, and fast for that week and spend time in prayer or whatever. Maybe you forego certain foods or certain activities and just dedicate that time, you know, to prayer or to reading the Word or to worship, as I've said. So just think about how that might fit your situation. You know, some of you work very hard physical work through the day. Well, you can't be going without, you know, meals all day if that's the case. I mean, I don't think you can. I don't know, because I don't work a physical job most of the time. But, you know, whatever, you just have to see what fits you. But ask the Lord and say, Lord, how do you want me to engage in this? Because, you know, I think it could be a really, well, one, it's a significant time for us, and this is what your church family are doing. So don't dismiss it. Engage in it and see how God wants you to be part of that together. And if it's something new to you, we'll have a chat about it and we can talk about it and just see how that might work. But I think, you know, we're all honest enough to be able to just say, Lord, what do you want? And just see how the Lord prompts us and be obedient to that. I guess the other thing I just wanted to highlight is just to remember that fasting, you know, it isn't about, you know, suffering for God. There's a sort of an Old Testament picture that's painted sometimes as we read in the Old Testament. We see, you know, they fasted and they, you know, tore their clothes and they mourned, you know, and whatever. And that's it. That was a type of fasting that is not what I'm talking about today that we're going to enter into. Because, you know, we're not talking about suffering, or we're not talking about trying to earn something from God by, in some ways, punishing ourselves by going without something that we love. It's not trying to attain some level of spirituality, you know, by our sacrifice. Because we know, I don't need to preach on that today, we know it's not sacrifice, is it, that pleases God. Our sacrifice can be in response to His love for us and His favour towards us. Do you know what I mean? It's not trying to get closer to Him by doing something spiritual like going without food and suffering. You know, we know that that can be a concept sometimes that's embraced. It's not trying to attain some level of spirituality or holiness or deservedness. But what it is, I believe, in simple terms, very simple terms, is a celebration of the love and the gratitude and the place of preeminence that God and His purposes and His plans hold in our life. In other words, out of devotion to Him, in response to Him, we love what He loves. And so what we do is, with gladness and with joy, what we do is, and I know like, that's in inverted commas, isn't it? Like, it can be still a challenge. I'm not trying to say it's a skip in the park. It's still challenging, is it? But what we're doing is we're just saying, you know what? Who you are and what you want and what you love and the people that you love and our community and our family and whatever, they actually, you know what, they are more important to me. I love them more than my own, you know, physical appetites. I love them more than the things that drive me, you know, day by day. And again, as I said, we're not talking about in an unhealthy way, starving yourself or whatever. We're saying, you know, just in a way that says, you know what, I'm gonna just make a statement about the appetites that I have, the things that take up power in my life. And, you know, food is the obvious one, isn't it? But there can be other things that we do that we sometimes feel, or sometimes God can put His finger on in this fasting season and say, you know what, I want you just to show me that no matter how important that is to you, you know, that if you can gladly say, no, I'm going to put that aside and just let you know that I love you more than that thing, or I love you more than that activity, or I love you more than that appetite that I have in my life. Does that make sense? Is that all right? Because it's just very simple terms, but I just want us to approach it that way. You know, I kind of thought, I don't know whether this is a really clear analogy, but I was just thinking about this as I was just sort of settling some things in my own heart. And I thought, you know, we can partake of food to celebrate a funeral. Or mourn a funeral. We call it a wake, don't we? Or we can take food to celebrate a wedding. It's funny, isn't it? We can take food to in some ways express our feelings at both those times. And I thought, well, I wonder if in reverse there's this sense that there are times where, you know, in the Bible you see where there was the going without food, you know, in the Old Testament it was a sense of showing grief and mourning and, you know, the old sackcloth and ashes we hear about. But then there's a sense of also going without to celebrate. There's a sense of going without because we want to just show how passionate we are and how much we just love God and what He wants for our life. I hope that makes sense. And I just wanted to share that because that's it. That's the heart. That's the attitude that we want to take with it. So see what God wants to, how He wants to lead you in that. And then also just let your heart be one of responsiveness to God. I just wrote down here, we're declaring our dependence on God more than food. We're declaring our desire for God to move and touch our community and our world more than food or more than our natural desires and appetites. It's an expression of our devotion. And over the years, I've talked about that word devotion quite a bit. I know not everyone would remember, but we talk about our core values, and one of them is that the church is a bride, that we are the bride. And one of the things that I've always explained that as is saying that that speaks of our devotion to Christ. And when we first talked about that years ago as one of our core values, you know, our devotion to Christ, one of the things that I looked up in a number of dictionaries was the word devotion. And they don't all make this clear, but a couple of them that have a bit more detail in them will talk about how devotion is being able to express with gladness, you know, or foregoing you know, offering something, I guess, as an expression of our devotion, where we gladly will forego something to express that devotion to the person or the thing that we are devoted to. And probably one way is to explain that in simple terms is, you know, if we're in a relationship, for example, a marriage relationship, then there are times where you have to sacrifice your choice, or you forego, you know, sacrifice is a word, but you forego something that you value or something that you, that is important to you, but you will gladly do it because you're so devoted to the other person in the relationship. So whether it's a family relationship, you're a parent to children, often that's the case, isn't it? I think that's probably even a better illustration, where from parents to children, there's kind of a gladness where your life shifts and you have to sometimes change the things that are important, or even forego the things that are important to you, because as a parent, that's just what it costs, isn't it? Who knows? Parenthood costs, is that right? But yet, you know, in its perfect expression, parenthood, there's a joyfulness and a gladness about what it costs. Am I the only one, or does that make sense? Is that all right? So I think you know what I'm talking about. It's this sense of glad devotion, forgoing my own comfort, my own desire and appetites to express my love towards something or someone. So that's what we want to do in that period, and I felt it was important just to unpack that a little bit. Hey, one thing I'll say, Ian Miller spoke a great message. Some of you remember Ian Miller, and just before he and his wife Christine went over to America, it was in August, the year before last, 2019, on the 18th of August, I asked him to come and to speak with us on prayer and fasting, because he'd written a few little booklets about it, and I thought he just had some good insights about it. So I asked him to preach on that Sunday, and so I just, over the last night and a little bit this morning, I listened to that message again, and it's an excellent message. I was just so inspired to listen to it again. So I've asked Jeremy if he would mind taking that, because when you go into our church webpage and you go to navigation at the top of the church webpage, and randacrc.org.au, you go to navigation, then you go to sermons on the menu, and then you go to Sunday sermons, and then you go to page 13, because there's a lot of sermons in there, page 13, and then you find August the 18th, 2019, and you'll find Ian Miller's message. So what I asked Jeremy to do is maybe pop it onto our church Facebook page for those who are on there, or to if you would like to just get access to that and have a listen to it this week, and I'd ask you, if you've got a moment to do that, just say to Jeremy, flick him a text, or just say to him afterwards, can you send me that message, and he'll flick it to your phone or to whatever, and you can have a listen to it through the week. Is that alright? I thought it was really inspiring, and it says some things that saves me having to say them this morning. But I thought it was just a really good, inspiring message about fasting. So, go onto our webpage, August the 18th, 2019, or have a chat to Jeremy, or on our church Facebook page by the end of the day. All right, the second thing we want to do is next Sunday, which will be the 10th of January, we're going to do things a bit different. We wanted to launch our time by watching the film The War Room. And some of you may have seen it. I've seen it a few times. Sam and I just watched it again just to say, you know, hey, is this going to be appropriate to devote a whole service to just watching this, you know, as a launch and an inspiration into our time of prayer and fasting. And we felt like it was very inspiring. Like, there are a few predictable bits in there, as you find in some Christian movies. I'm not trying to be derogative, but just saying that's the case, isn't it? I think you find. But it was a really good inspirational movie about the power of prayer and the effectiveness of specific and focused prayer. So next Sunday, what we'll do is we'll just come, we'll have a few announcements and a prayer, and we'll basically just spend our service watching that film, and then afterwards hopefully just have some coffee together. So it'll go most of our service time. So that's the War Room that we're going to watch together next Sunday. Now, you can watch that at home. Many of you have probably already seen it, but I think there'll be something about watching it together, if you're able to come and watch it together. I think our other churches are going to do that as well. The other churches that are with us are going to do that as well, and at some stage anyway they'll do that, and then we'll launch into our week of prayer and fasting. So that's a little bit different, but I hope that's okay with you guys. The other thing we wanted to do was, and we need your help with this as well, but during January we wanted to record some and video some testimonies of answered prayer. And obviously recent is good, but look, if something comes to mind of an answer to prayer, and it's something pretty clear, you know, there was prayer and then God answered that prayer, and there's a testimony there to share. Look, I'd ask you, I know many of you guys, the last thing you want to do is get in front of a camera and probably, you know, don't always want to be talking about yourself. I get that, and that's a good thing sometimes. But You know, that testimony could just be something that will trigger something for somebody else. It could just be a word in season. Proverbs talks about, you know, a word in season, how rich it is, you know, how it's like a pearl, like a treasure. And I just would ask you again, I'm just pleading with you, I'm asking you, would you just be open to say, Lord, have you got a testimony you want me to share? Have you got something that I can share? And we can record that, either audio or video ideally, and we'll get some help with that, and we'll put that together over January, and then through February we'd like to just use some of those testimonies and share them, you know, maybe in our services, but also with one another, and you know, on our Facebook page as well. Just because I feel like that's really important for us as we come into a time of prayer. It's great to share and important to share testimonies. All right. So can I ask you, with all my earnestness, to think about that again? Please don't just dismiss that. I know sometimes we ask for things, and say, someone else will do that, but it might just be your testimony. It might just be your story, and you might have a big one that comes to mind straight away. We'd love to hear that. Might have been when you gave your heart to the Lord, and just how that was had the fingerprints of God all over it. We'd love to hear from you on that. But if you might say, here something comes to mind, you think, oh, that's a bit small, you know, like that's a bit trivial, but it could be just the thing. It's going to be so helpful and timely for someone else. Okay, is that all right? Everyone awake? Are you there with me? Cool. Alrighty. So there are three things, and just one last one was, and again, I know this won't be for everyone, but we just thought, hey, it'd be good to just put this out there. That starting from this week, we thought it'd be good to walk and pray, and just to you know, have some time. And you can do that any time that suits you. If you're someone who walks and walking around town, and many of you are and do, then just as you walk, just be prayerful. Maybe you're already doing that. Well, okay, do that with additional focus. But if you'd like to join us, we thought Wednesday. We're trying to think, Monday might work best, Tuesday might work best. Where I've landed is Wednesday morning, 6:30 to 7:30, just to come to the front of the church here, and we'll just walk. And again, you might say, well, I don't walk very far. We'll adjust the walk. You know, some might walk a short way and some might walk longer or whatever, but we'll just work that out depending on who comes along. But I thought the first week we'd like to just walk the main street and just pray for our businesses and pray for our community and at large. And then on the other days we might pray for our schools, pray for our churches. We might, you know, visit them, just walk past them, or, you know, people can go different directions. We'll work out depending on who comes and how you want to do it. And then, you know, pray for our council and our community leaders and police and hospital, etc. So over each week, we'll just have a different focus of our prayer. So Wednesday, 6:30 to 7:30. Again, that's not going to suit everyone, I know. Some of you already walk, some of you have to work or whatever. But we thought if we make it early, it's not like God's awake and hears more in the morning early, but it's probably just the time that might suit most people, perhaps, to be able to do things before the day gets busy. So Wednesday, 6:30 to 7:30, or part thereof, but we'll meet at 6:30 and we'll just spend some time. We'll pray before we go and we'll go walking. Don't worry, we're not going to run up and down the main street shouting out and embarrass you in any way, but we're not going to be ashamed to just walk together and to be able to maybe pray before we go and pray for our town. Is that all right? So there's a fair bit of information there, but just wanted to share that with you. One other challenge that I'll just throw out there, a little bit different, but is to, read. I thought it'd be really good through the next 31 days to read a chapter of Proverbs each day. You know, maybe if you want to start tomorrow, then we might be reading at the same time. But the Passion Translation, I've just started to read the Proverbs in the Passion Translation. Thought it was just really refreshing and good. And so, if you want to join in that challenge as well, I think that would be a good thing, to just read a chapter of the book of Proverbs from the Passion Translation, one each day if you can, and just let it speak to you and see how you land with that. Alrighty, so there's a few things for us to think about. Will you turn into 1 Timothy 2:1-4? Please, that'd be great. Just going to share from this passage. And it's not too long ago that I've shared a message on this verse and these four types of prayer, but I'll take a little bit different approach today, but I just felt to share this, thought it would be helpful this morning just to look at different forms of prayer, different expressions of prayer, because we think prayer, you know, sometimes we don't think about the different ways that prayer is expressed, and so I'd like to just share on that a little bit this morning. So 1 Timothy 2, I've picked up a few bits from some of the different translations, which I'll refer to as we go along. But we'll start with the New King James Version. Sorry, just finding my way here. Right, so 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4 from the New King James Version. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And so, before I read on, they're the four things I want to just come back and talk about briefly. Four different types of prayer, expressions of prayer. So, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's a pretty strong exhortation there. In the Passion Translation, got a few here and I'll just refer them. In the Passion Translation it says, most of all I'm writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men with all forms of prayers. So the Passion particularly talks about different forms of prayer. So the King James just gives us, the New King James just gives us those four things. But here in the Passion it says, pray with all forms of prayer and requests as you intercede. And then the Message, it just says, pray every way you know how for everyone you know. So it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? So there are different ways to pray. And what we're exhorted to do, what we're encouraged to do, is to pray. The New Living Translation says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. So there's this urging, there's this exhorting, there's this encouraging, strong encouragement to pray. And there's a strong encouragement to pray with different forms of prayer. So I think it's helpful to look at these different forms of prayer. And I'll just say this, obviously some of them overlap. You know, one of them, as I begin to describe it, you say, well, isn't that one of the other ones too? Well, the answer is yes, you're correct. So there's an overlap. But I think it's really helpful to just, I guess, define briefly the different expressions of prayer that are referred to in this verse in Timothy. Alrighty. So the first thing to talk about is supplications, or in the New King James, it uses the word supplications. In the Amplified, it uses the word petitions, and then it's got in brackets specific requests. A couple of verses that help bring this out, and I'll just jump into them quickly, but Ephesians 6, which is where it talks about the armour of God, and it finishes there, verse 17 just says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then verse 18 just says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, being helped by the Spirit to pray. Romans 8 tells us the Holy Spirit will help us to pray when we feel that we're not able to in ourselves, the Holy Spirit will help us to pray. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then he says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul's saying, hey, will you pray and with supplication, always praying, with the help of the Spirit, being watchful, persevering, praying for all saints, pray for me. So in these two passages, what we've been told to do is pray for one another, haven't we? Pray for all saints, pray for one another. And then we've been told to pray for all people, and we've been told to pray for those in government. We've been told, so really it's fairly embracing, isn't it? It's fairly encompassing to pray. Pray for people. Pray for one another. And so this supplication is really talking about, you know, specific requests, praying with our petitions, and we know what petitions are. Hey, another one from Paul is Philippians chapter 4. And again, I'll be real quick because you're familiar with this one. Most of us would be. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. temptation's getting the better of me, and I've just got to go back to verse 4 because it just kind of wraps it up a bit, all right? So verse 4, Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so here we see the first one was four things. Supplication, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks. The second one talked about always praying with prayer and supplications. This one talks about prayer, supplications and thanksgivings. It's pretty clear, isn't it? There are different expressions of prayer. And this first one, supplications, is talking about, you know, targeting, coming to God, bringing your petition, asking for specific things, and there's some degree of deliberate request, there's some degree of targeted prayer, there's some degree of being persistent with that prayer. They're all things that are kind of alluded to in this idea of supplication. I won't turn to it, but Psalm 6 verse 9 I found was interesting when I was preparing. It said, the Lord has heard my supplication. He will receive my prayer. And so it's kind of like when I hear the psalmist say that, it makes me feel like there's this sense of, I really want to be heard. I'm really petitioning. I'm really deliberate about asking. I'm kind of coming and I'm asking again if I need to. I'm fairly persistent. I'm fairly determined. I'm really coming to ask about something specific. And so the psalmist kind of says, the Lord has heard my supplication. It's like, well, finally, I can breathe easy because he's heard me. Now, there's all sorts of illustrations I can use. Sandra's just left the room, so I can safely say, you know, there are times when she's telling me something and she knows I haven't heard, so she tells me again and she keeps on going. By the way, it works in reverse sometimes too, but I'd rather talk about it this way. It's safer. But you know, and then you can kind of see the relief. You'll say something back, yep, I've got that. And then you kind of see, well, now I can stop asking because I know you've got that. Is that right? Does anyone else know that situation? I look around for all the married people. Oh, Sandra, I thought you left the room. Oh, someone should have warned me. All right, but anyway, that's the way it works. And now I should reinforce it works in reverse too sometimes. Okay, but there's this sense of deliberate and persistent and you know, targeted prayer and persistent prayer, and that's one form of prayer. Okay, and I don't know, it's a prayer of faith, isn't it? It's a prayer of there's something that I'm moved about and I want to really press in to God. I mean, that's all I really need to say. You got the point there. And then the second one, which it's the word prayer. Well, that's what we're talking about. But I kind of feel in the context of this, supplication, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving, that it's talking about more of a conversational prayer. And I think a key word here is a listening prayer. So the first prayer is, I'm just really determined. I'm asking something. I'm petitioning for something. I'm reaching out for something. But this one is just, well, I'm taking time. I know God is here and I'm communing with him and I'm sharing what's on my heart. But I'm kind of taking some time to dialogue with him. I'm taking some time to listen. Some people call it listening prayer, but I've heard people talk about that sometimes, and it gets a little bit intense, I think, than for my liking. You might like intense, but you know, it's I just kind of feel like it's just that time with God where you let him just speak. And one of the reasons why I think that makes sense is in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18, it talks about rejoicing always, and then it says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, pray without ceasing. How do you pray without ceasing? I mean, if it's like petitioning, well, it's not really, it doesn't make sense, doesn't it, that you can just kind of keep asking and like it's like you're going to be on your knees and just focused in prayer and whatever. You get nothing else done. Is that right? But there's this kind of prayer that's like a listening prayer. It's a being aware of his presence. One of the songs said that today. It's just, let us be more aware of his presence. And I've always thought that's a good thing. It's good to be to lift our awareness of His presence. And so there's this sense where as we just go about what we do every day, we can be just busy about our job, we can be driving, we can be doing whatever we're doing, and there's this sense of speaking and listening. There's this sense of just being mindful of God's presence and knowing that I can just tell Him what I'm feeling, but then I can listen and see what He's got to say about it. Does that make sense? And so there's this supplication, but then there's this prayer, listening, dialogue, conversation. In fact, in my notes here I've written listening and responding. So listening and responding. What are you saying, Lord? Well, what am I going to do with that? How do I interpret that? And I think that kind of prayer often happens in conjunction with reading the Word too. You know, the old soap, you know, so if you wanted to do this when you're reading, if you decide to read a chapter of Proverbs, or if you're already in some daily reading, I know a few people have mentioned to me that they're really looking to read the New Testament through in the year. Some possibly are going to look at reading the whole Bible through in a year, and so you've got your set verses, and I don't want to disrupt that by making you read a chapter of Proverbs. For sure, you just do what you do. But one of the easiest things about when you start reading a few chapters, you know, like in a day or in a sitting, it's hard to take it all in, isn't it? You find yourself like rereading a fair bit of it or trying to focus on it. But one of the things that's helpful is the soap that we often talk about, you know, S-O-A-P, that as you read the chapter, you just see what scripture, one scripture maybe spoke to you and sort of just seemed to light up. This time when I read it through, one scripture seemed to light up. And if you're doing Proverbs or you're doing some other readings and doing a few chapters, well, you can't think about intentionally and meditate upon every verse in three chapters or in a whole chapter. But what you can do is you can say, well, what verse really spoke to me? And that's the scripture. And then the O is the observation. Well, then what do I see in that scripture as I think about what is that scripture saying? Now, I'm not trying to interpret it just yet. I'm just looking at it and saying, well, what is it really saying, you know, in its context? And then I'm saying the application. Well, then what does it say to me today, where I'm at today? Why did that verse stand out to me? Why did it kind of light up for me today? Because there's an application. There's something that I need to do with this. And then the last one, P, is obviously prayer. Because when that process has happened, then what I'm doing is I'm saying, well, Lord, you help me to put that into practice. Lord, what are you saying? So there's this prayerfulness, isn't there, and reading the Word that go together. Does that make sense? And so there's a prayer. It's not just always sitting there and just seeing what God's got to say, but there's a supplication, there's a deliberate, there's a determined prayer, reaching out for things that move your heart. But then there's a prayer that's just listening and responding and seeing what God's got to say, and that can happen throughout the day, you know, as you just do what you do. And just thoughts come into your mind, and it's like that's the prayer without ceasing, isn't it? Which is a rather amazing concept. So that's the second one. We're doing pretty well. It's 2 out of 4. Who's happy about that? Good. So number 3 is intercession. The Amplified actually says prayers for others, but I mean the others have been a little bit prayer for others too, haven't they? But the New Living Translation says intercede on their behalf, and I think that says it well. That when we're praying for others, but we're interceding on their behalf. You know, when I said in supplication, sometimes there's just things that are burning in your heart. There are needs that you see and you want to pray for your city, or you want to pray for your town, or you want to pray for your family, or you want to pray for your finances, or you want to pray for your life in some way, your work or your other things that you're doing. So you're really focused and you're passionate about your prayer. Well, sometimes that happens, particularly in the context of someone that we love. Or whatever. And it might not even be someone we know well, but there are times where I just feel like God puts things on our heart and says, you just got to really pray for Ian, you know. I don't know what's happening, but I just kind of come into my mind and I've just got this stirring in my heart. And I know I've got to pray for him. Well, there's that sense of I'm interceding for him. Whatever's going on. Now, sometimes I can be aware of what's happening and I'm thinking, I'm going to fight for him. And I think I've told you before when I've shared about this, is, you know, there are times where someone comes to mind sometimes feel a bit of a fool at times, but I will, especially if I'm on my own, I'll just kind of walk up and down that living room of ours, and it's got a bit of length in it, so you can get a bit of speed up, and I'm just there, I'm fighting for somebody, and I'm saying, you know, and I might be fighting for one of my kids who's going through something, or I'm fighting for someone who I know is, you know, I'm just aware that they're being caught up in something that's not going to be helpful for them, and I know, you know, I'm not going to be able to speak to them, but I know what I can do is I can fight for them still. You know, and so I'm there and I'm fighting for him. And I tell you, sometimes I'd like to listen to a recording of myself, you know, when you get, because somehow there's a passion inside of you and you're just fighting for that person. And that's this intercession. It is praying for others, but I think it's interceding on their behalf. And the Passion Translation says to intercede with intense passion. So there's the intensity that I've been trying to avoid all morning. So there is an intensity, an intense passion that comes, and in this area of intercession, taking up someone's cause, fighting for someone, declaring over someone. Now I often, fairly often I would pray this prayer. I'd say, Lord, I invite you. Occasionally there's reluctance, but mostly I'm pretty keen about it. I say, Lord, I just invite you. I can't know what's happening with everybody. Lord, you've entrusted me to just watch over people. You've made me a shepherd. It's just too much for me. I can't know what's happening all the time. So I'll do my best. But Lord, I invite you to move on my heart. I invite you to put someone in my mind. I whisper this bit really quiet. I say, even wake me up in the night if you need to, all right? If you need to. And I just whisper that, hoping he didn't quite hear that bit. But I'm saying, just whatever. Lord, you prompt me. I've written it down here. You prompt me. You wake me. You reveal to me. You show me the urgency. You call me. Because that's what he does. He calls you, doesn't he? He calls you into something. Lord, you call me. You let me know. If there's something that I'm missing, and it's easy to miss. If there's something I'm missing, Lord, I just invite you, I give you the invitation to get my attention somehow. Because I think sometimes he's waiting for the invitation to do those sorts of things, to invade our life. He says, if you're not willing, then that's fine, I won't be a bully. But if you give me permission, I will come, I will reveal, I will show you, I will prompt you, I will stir you. And I just think I tell you what, look, I don't know if I'm explaining this well, but it's one of the greatest reliefs. When I discovered that, it was one of the greatest, brings the greatest relief to me in my role and my ministry, because I know I can't be aware of everything. I can't be onto everything. But Lord, you are. And I'll do my best to listen to you. I'll do my best to obey you and to get your timing. And that's still a struggle, I have to tell you. It's still a struggle. Like, there are times where I know, with someone, on my mind, and I felt prompted to do something, and then I've just got busy and I've missed the opportunity, and then I've realised I've made a mistake. I've missed something that I shouldn't have missed. Well, I know I'm forgiven and it's all okay. But isn't it great that we've got that available to us? That, Lord, you put someone on my heart. You show me. Now, it doesn't always have to be like this, this whisper from heaven. It can just be as you see somebody struggling and you see someone's in need, and because you love them, it doesn't kind of need anything too much except your heart gets moved and you think, I've got to do something about this. And so you begin to move into prayer or cover someone in prayer. And that's this intercession. Alrighty. And then the last one is the giving of thanks. The Amplified says, let thanksgivings be offered. The New Living Translation says, give thanks for them. And I just, again, as I was preparing this and I wrote in my notes, I just wrote down, I feel like one of the things that's been brewing in my own heart, and I'm nearly finished, but one of the things that's really brewing in my heart for 2021, just for me personally, but I felt as I was preparing to also just put it out there today, is to just embrace gratitude. Just to embrace gratitude. And I know it's one of those things that you have to revisit often, isn't it? Because gratitude wanes. Who knows that gratitude, our life is really, when it comes to gratitude, our life is like a bucket with a few small holes in it, And gratitude kind of wanes. And we find ourselves then whinging about things, and I hope I'm talking to the right people, but you find yourself just getting a bit negative about things, and you just think, well, that's not what I want. That's not how I am. And then you start thinking, you know what's happened? Gratitude has kind of waned a bit, and I've lost my thankfulness. I've lost my gratitude. And there's a gratitude to God. That's a biggie. But then I wrote down here, I wrote, sometimes gratitude to parents and family, gratitude to husbands and wives, gratitude to community and national leaders. And I tell you, at the moment, it's very easy, isn't it, to criticise political leaders. And I'm not against, like, making observations and saying things that that need to be said, or making sure that we don't get drawn down paths that we don't need to get drawn down, etc. We need to be watching. That's part of our role as believers in a community, is to watch for our community and protect and fight for people. But, we need to be grateful for our community and grateful for our national leaders and grateful for our church leaders and church family. I mean, I could give you all the different areas where people are involved in our life. But the New Living Translation particularly says, give thanks for them. So pray for everyone. And then it says, give thanks for them. Now, it's not necessarily, saying that everybody's right or trustworthy. It's not even really saying that you have to be friends to everyone. In fact, the Bible tells us not to be friends with certain people. If people are going to, have a certain attitude about life and about things, well, it says don't don't befriend them, because it's only going to be contagious on you, and you're going to, in trying to rescue them, you're going to find yourself drowning out in the same ocean. And so there's this sense where you do have to make a judgment. You do have to, befriend and trust the right people. But sometimes in trying to find how that works in a healthy way, we can sometimes then not be grateful for people. You know, we can judge people in a wrong way. And I just think maybe that's something, I think in 2021, as we come into the year, I've asked you to do a lot of things today, haven't I? But would you just sort of, just open your heart and say, where's my gratitude barometer? Where am I up to in terms of just appreciating people that are in my life? Appreciating, first of all, God and what He's given me and how He's dealing in my life and just what He's done for me. And then I think honour comes into that too. So gratitude and honour. You know, gratitude for the Lord and honouring the Lord, honouring God, honouring parents and family, honouring husbands and wives. You know, honouring those who serve in our community, even if we don't agree with them all the time. And just honouring one another is really important too. And so I think there's a really important thing about this giving of thanks. Giving thanks for people. Giving thanks for them. One last scripture, Ephesians 5 and verse 20. If the stewards want to come, please, and just prepare to take the communion around for us, that'll be really wonderful. Thank you. And music team too might like to come up as well. Thanks. Ephesians 5:20 is the key verse, but I'm going to read 15 to 20 again just to get the picture of this. But verse 20 is where we're heading, all right? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So be careful. Like, think about how you live. The top of this is walk in wisdom. It's preceded by passages that talk about walk in unity, walk in love, walk in light. You know, the first few chapters of Ephesians, I think it was Ash that might have spoken about this a few weeks ago. And Ash talked about the book of Ephesians and how the beginning of the book of Ephesians talks about our authority in Christ and who we are in Christ. It's not about what we do to perfect ourselves, but it's about what God has already done for us to perfect us and to prepare us and to enable us and equip us and whatever. So, and then what happens, the second half of Ephesians then says, if this is who God has made you to be, well, now walk this way. So it's not about, well, come on, try harder and walk this way. It's actually, this is what God has done in you. This is God in you. This is the power of God in you. This is, you know, the promise of God for you. This is the presence of God in your life. So come on, walk in unity, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. They're all different passages through chapter 4 and 5. And so here it says, see that you walk circumspectly. Be deliberate. Think about how you walk. Have an assessment every now and again and see if you're walking as a fool or as a wise person. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, that's a pretty good clue, because it says, you know, you can either be unwise or you can understand the will of God. They're the opposites, aren't they? So unwise or wise, understand the will of God is wisdom. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then it says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And that word fear of God is not being scared of God, but it's talking about honour for God. So submit to one another in honour to God, in honouring God, in appreciating who God is. And so there's this sense of honour for God, and there's this sense of honour for those who are in our life. Now, interestingly, this goes on to talk about marriage, husbands and wives, honouring one another, children and parents, honouring one another, chapter 6, servants and masters, honouring one another, and then putting on the armour to make sure that you're protected from the enemy who tries to come and to take away what God has already put into your life, so you won't live it out in its fullest way. So it's saying, give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, in Thessalonians, it sort of says, in everything give thanks. You know, I don't think we have to say, well, I thank God for, things that go wrong, for tragedy and calamity and problems. We don't have to say, Lord, I thank you for those problems. But what it's saying really, this Thessalonians verse gives a better interpretation of it. It says, in everything give thanks. So we don't have to say thanks for this sickness or thanks for whatever. But what we're saying is, in this, I'm giving you thanks. I'm giving you thanks. In this situation, I'm giving you thanks. I'm not thanking you for every problem, but I'm thanking you in every problem. Because gratitude will lift you out. Gratitude will help your perspective. Gratitude will help you to shift, just the way you see things and the way you respond to things. And I just kind of feel to just finish with that challenge for us. And so as we take communion, the emblems have just been handed around. If you're visiting today, we'd just love you to just share in communion with us. If you're comfortable to do that, we'd love you to do that and partake together. But I'm just going to have a moment now. Sam will just play and we'll all just take communion together. And as you do, would you just take a moment to just say, just how's my heart? How's my gratitude? When Jesus broke bread and the Last Supper and he said, he basically instituted the time of communion. He said, as often as you meet, take the cup, take the bread, remember me, remember what I've done, till I come. So he says, I want you to do that. And he says, give thanks. He took the bread and he gave thanks. And so there's something about having these emblems in our hands and giving thanks and giving honour to the Lord. And that should flow then, or that can flow into then giving honour to one another, giving honour to those who are in our life, giving thanks and being grateful for those who are in our life. 1 Timothy 2, pray with supplication, with prayer, listening. What's God got to say? Intercession, burden of prayer for others, giving of thanks, being thankful for those who God puts on our mind, is in our life, is in our world. Thanks. Just partake then as you're ready. Give thanks and partake.